Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
I'm an old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
The win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Hey, this is Art Chansky, and sorry to tell you, but I do not like our chances in Atlanta today.
This is Bob Lee. Today we play a comparable in historic Grant Field.
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, time for The Good Sports, Art C. and Bob Lee, and I'm Aaron Keck. Today's Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. is coming to you live from WCHL Studios in Chapel Hill as we count down to the Tar Heels game in Atlanta with Georgia Tech. Good morning, Good Sports. What do you think?
That's me.
That's you, yes.
That's me.
All right.
I had to blow two lines at the beginning of the show.
Hey, I paused and waited for you, all right?
Somebody gets stuck.
It's all uphill from here. It's all uphill.
It was a pregnant pause, you know what
yes.
I mean, Bob? Hey, look. Let me tell you.
It's all uphill from here.
Our chances would be a lot better if we had hired Paul Johnson instead of Butch Davis. So we cannot beat the guy because the guy has a better scheme, and until this point, he has better players. I mean, look at the. We haven't beaten Georgia Tech in Atlanta since 1997. Who were our coaches since 1997? Carl Torbush, John Bunning, and Butch Davis.
Everett Withers.
Well, and Everett Withers. Come on. Players win games. Players win games.
And Larry Fedora last year. Hey.
Hey, it's week 4 of coloring pageantry. We got plenty of developing storylines as we get into the finish up the first quarter of the season. Plenty of new storylines, my friend.
Plenty. And give us a few, if you would.
Well, we're going back to Atlanta, and you and I bet you were there. The last time, well, not the last time I was in Grant Field, but the first time I was in Grant Field was in December of 1970. It was the Frozen Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl, yes.
Against Frank Cush and Spaghetti Joe Spagnuolo. We had Paul Miller and Don McCauley and Tony Blanchard and Ricky Lanier and Ricky Packard and John Bunning. Gosh, it goes on and on.
Were you at that game?
I was up in the upper deck freezing my butt off.
With an umbrella.
Over
his head,
snow.
I think.
I was at that game, and do you remember that it was actually pretty nice before the game started?
It was. First quarter was good, and then it got scary.
Well, it was actually fairly warm, and then a strange front came in, and then it was a blizzard.
You know that was the first bowl game that Arizona State Sun Devils ever won in their whole life?
Yeah, because east of the Mississippi, no one had ever heard of Frank Cush and Mount Cush and Joe Spagnuolo and all those guys.
They were lost in the mountain time zone.
Well, because there was no such thing as ESPN. Honestly, no, that game took Frank Cush into the public awareness. And remember all the stories that came about how he used to beat the crap out of the guys and make them run up Mount Cush and all that stuff?
Do you remember where Monroe Ealy was from?
I do not.
He was a running back. He was from North Carolina. Had some small town in North Carolina. Had somehow escaped us. And this, again, was in 1970. So a lot of the segregated teams in the South were not quite like. They were just developing. But Monroe Ealy ended up at Arizona State, and he had the game of his life that night in the Peach Bowl in historic Grant Field.
You know, that was Bill Dooley's first bowl game, right? That was – tell me – when was Bill Dooley's first bowl win? Do you remember?
Would that have been – well, then he played his brother, and that was – no, his brother beat him.
And the Brother Bowl and the Gator
would
next year.
Would that have been Gator Bowl?
And then the next year, it was when Chris Kupek, not Matt Kupek, Chris Kupek.
Older brother Chris.
El Paso'd the Tar Heels to win over Mississippi State in the Sun Bowl in 1973. That was Bill Dooley's first bowl game after losing the Snow Bowl to Spagnola.
Losing the Brother Bowl.
And the Brother Bowl. And then he took Chris Kupek down there. And you remember that after that game, Chris Kupek actually had an opportunity to come back and play from his injury, and the ACC said he couldn't because they refused to extend the hardship rule. Typical prejudice against Carolina. That's a little trivia for you.
Who would have been the ACC commissioner?
Well, Bob James, but he didn't do any. He didn't. I mean, it was a vote. It's like all of you guys think that the NCAA in Indianapolis are the ones that are making all the rules, and they're not. They're just a bunch of suits in Minneapolis. In Indianapolis, they. The schools make the rules. The schools make the rules. And
except
so,
then it would have been Walter Byers in Mission, Kansas.
Shawnee Mission,
yeah. Kansas.
Okay, so let me go back to what we were saying. We haven't won in Atlanta since 1997.
Randy Rhino and Kelvin Bryant?
We've lost 13 of the last 15 to the Yellow Jackets. I mean, the measure of a football team is if they have better players than you do. And last year, this is what worries me about today. They're better on both sides of the ball than we are, and we're not. We're worse. They're better than they were last year on both sides of the ball, and we're not as good as we were at this point in the season on both sides of the ball. And we lost 68-50 last year at home. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is going to happen today? Oh,
Sear.
Soothsayer, Bob Lee says.
Well, we'll get to that at the end of our show when we do our predictions, but it could be scary. What I've always wondered about Paul Johnson, and you know, he's kind of famous for this if you study coaches' idiosyncrasies, he doesn't carry a clipboard or a cheat sheet with him. He knows his offense so well, he's memorized it, so he knows what plays he runs next and, you know, whatever. But he doesn't carry one of those color-coded deals with it.
Do you know where Paul Johnson is from?
Western part of North Carolina,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Do you know that Paul Johnson in 2007 wanted to coach the Tar Heels?
I think I remember hearing that. He won several small college championships at Georgia State. Georgia Southern.
Yeah. Do you know that our crack chancellor at the time, our crack athletic director at the time, and our crack board of trustees at the time, you know?
Boy, you're getting them all there. He's wiping out everybody.
How about the mayor of Chapel Hill and the city councilman in Carrboro? Do you think they interviewed Paul
Johnson? You forgot
Paul
the crack mayor of Chapel Hill and the crack
city councilman. Crack mayor of Carrboro.
There you go.
Do you think they interviewed Paul Johnson? Do you think they took his phone call?
I don't know. Dickie probably said he was too religious, too, like Mark Rich.
Yeah, they didn't take his phone call, and they also didn't take Pete Carroll's phone call when he called.
How about Fisher DeBerry's before we hired Mack?
How about Art Baker back in 1973? We did take his phone call, and we were going to hire him, and then somebody found out about it, and we reconvened the search committee and hired the crummer.
Or when we could have hired John Ray, who was assistant coach to Ara Parsegian, but instead we hired Vince Dooley's little brother.
Look, I digress here. Let me ask you something. You think Paul Johnson would be with the players he could get at North Carolina, you think he'd be a great coach right now at North Carolina? He'd be 7 years into his program?
Well, I guess the question would be, are the people in Atlanta happy with him? Are they bored with him? I mean, now he's got more of a two-dimensional offense where it's not just who you're going to – is the quarterback going to run it or is he going to pitch out? Now he can actually pass. They've added that extra dimension. When they had the super freak or whatever his name was, Johnson, and they threw three passes a
Calvin
game.
Calvin Johnson, Megatron.
Megatron,
yes.
Right. Hey, you know what? Fans love winners.
What's his record against Georgia?
They adapt to the style of play. Well, that's one of the barometers down there. It would be our record against Duke. Our record against State. Well, Butch is 0-4 against State. So do you think that really
0-4, 0-5?
No.
0-5 and
Withers lost game number 5.
I thought it was 6 in a row.
No. 5 in a row.
That's true.
What? All right.
Guys, we gotta take a quick break.
We are already
a quarter of the way through the show.
We're halfway up Cush Mountain.
When we come back, we've got to talk about around the ACC. Frank Beamer, Jim Groby both on the hot seat, and we'll talk to Vic Koning, defensive coordinator of the Tar Heels. Big game for him today. That is when we come back. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Tar Heel fans, this is Brian Pott with Landscape Logic. Just a friendly reminder, fall seeding is around the corner. Having a nice lawn is not a product of good luck. It's an absolute science. At Landscape Logic, we are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to be successful and protect your economic and aesthetic investment. Ask about our aftercare programs, weekly maintenance programs, and references in your neighborhood. Visit us online at landscapelogicnc.com. Landscape Logic is a logical choice for all your landscape needs.
Renner in the shotgun again with Blue to his right. He'll throw a quick screen to the 10-yard line. Davis makes a man miss and gets it to the end zone.
Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Aaron Keck here in WCHL Studios. I am not the star of the show. Art C. and Bob Lee, Art Chansky and Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says, joining us here for the remainder of this hour. Tar Heels, Georgia Tech at noon. And some key players are necessary in order for the Tar Heels to win, including Russell Bodine, key center, Bob Lee.
Guys, I got to tell you, my wife Blondie, she doesn't know a whole lot about football. She doesn't know if the football is inflated or stuffed. But this past week, Russell Bodine was one of Larry Fedora's player guests on his radio show. And she happened to hear it when she was riding around, and she was blown away by Russell Bodine. What a erudite, well-spoken, smart young man he is. And I'd seen the name, but I really didn't know. So suddenly, as she's saying it, I'm saying, we're talking about the next Jeff Saturday. Well-spoken, super sharp, very intelligent, high-character kid who happens to also play center. And so anyway, I just want to tell everyone out there, start looking at Russell Bodine and thinking Russell Bodine. He could be the next kind of Harris Barton, Ron Wooten, Jeff Saturday interior lineman for the Tar Heels.
What do you say? So Art's already shaking his head.
Should we call him Russell Friday or Russell Sunday? What should we call him?
I like that. We'll work on that. It's Billy Sunday.
We'll just go back. Hey, I agree with you. He's very and all our centers are really smart here, because you have to really know the snap count before you snap the ball. That's how it goes. But if we'll see if he gets to snap the ball to a Hall of Fame quarterback for most of his career, and then we'll see if he steps right into ESP and can be an analyst.
He also came out of the Virginia Prep League. Yeah. Which is that prep school league up in Virginia, who produced a certain quarterback who's now with the Seattle Seahawks from that Catholic or Christian school in Richmond, whatever.
Something along those
Russell
lines.
Yeah,
Wilson.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but anyway, that Saturday story is still the best, because he was undrafted, went to work in a school supply company warehouse, and said, I'm going to give football one more chance. So he went as a free agent. The Colts signed him. The rest is history. And it's sort of like, you know, really, it's sort of like when your alter ego, Bob Lee, decided that people would be interested in what you wrote on the internet.
There you go. You know, now, that story about how he got picked up by the Colts, do you know who was the intermediary there that went into Bill Polian and said, you need to take a look at this teammate I had down in Chapel Hill?
Gary Wichard.
No, it was the guy with the hyphen in his name. What was his name?
You were just waiting to drop that name.
It was a lineman who was in the NFL for 3 or 4 years who had a hyphen in his name.
Started with an H, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone call in with the name of what that guy's name was. He was a big offensive lineman, and he had a hyphen in his name.
Mm. Well, while we're waiting for that, we got to go around the ACC. A couple of key coaches who have been around for a while on the hot seat right now, Frank Beamer, Jim Groby, Art, Bob, what do you think?
Well, Beamer ball really depends on who's playing Beamer ball. And he's not getting as many studs as he once did, so maybe he needs to increase his recruiting budget, so to speak. Oops, go ahead.
Well, I mean, when you barely come out of Dowdy Ficklin with a win, in which they barely did, and that, 15-10, and they got beat by Alabama, although people are saying that, you know, Bud Foster kept them close in that game, the great Bud Foster. Now, what do you think? As we talked to Vince Caining, we talked about defensive gurus. Now there's a defensive guru at both of those Virginia schools, the great John Tenuta and the great Bud Foster.
The great John Tenuta. Well, we hope that Virginia Tech stays very mediocre at least through October 5th, right?
I think the era of Beamer ball is over, and he's kind of I don't see him coming back because the guy at UVA is apparently a hotshot recruiter, so maybe he's going into the projects down in Hampton and Newport News and getting the next group of Vicks.
Virginia Tech 2-1, Wake Forest not so much. How about Jim Groby?
Is Grobe still good enough for the Deacons?
Well, you know something?
I mean, losing to Louisiana Monroe.
He should have gotten out while the getting was good. He could have gone to Arkansas. He could have gone to another bunch of places. Or maybe he just likes living in Winston-Salem, where no one really cares about anything except golf and what Paul Fulton says at Old Town. When was Wake's last winning season, by the way?
06, 07.
Unless you say 2008, you are wrong. And Grobe is right now heading for his sixth straight losing season. And now he has an overall career losing record at Wake. Hey, come to think of it, Ron Wellman might fire him.
Ron Wellman is on the hot seat himself, I would think, because Biz or whatever his name is, the guy with no vowels in his name, he's really stinking up the place.
Bazelic.
Yeah. So is Jim Grobe still good enough for Wake standards, which is his, you know, beat Duke. They beat us last year. That earned him an extra 3 years. But now he beats Presbyterian and loses to Lafayette Monroe or Louisiana Monroe or Maryland Monroe or I don't know.
Sooner or later, everybody wears out their welcome if they can't win. But at Wake Forest, it takes longer.
Losing to Maryland Monroe would be all right, I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
You think the Deacons would like Marilyn Monroe?
Unfortunately.
All right, let's get it over with. How about your Dabos, your fighting Dabos?
That was something. I was over there at the Carter. Stately Vaughn Towers, once again an invited VIP guest. Everybody was all over me.
Have you ever paid for a football ticket in your life? Ever?
No, never.
Right.
The advantages of being an internet legend just keep on perking up. I got to tell you, it's very similar to the Blue Zone, except not as nice and not as blue. So we're all there sitting around eating our barbecue and stuff, and Gooch Gott comes in. Now, he was not with Jim Herrick, he was not with his wife, and he was not with anyone else's wife. He came in all by himself.
You're bad.
And, don't ask me, I'm just telling you. He was by himself, and he was running like he was looking for C.J. Leslie's pimp or something. But anyway, we had a great time. The card stunts worked very, very well. It was a absolutely beautiful night with an incredible harvest moon high above Carter Finley. And the refereeing, it was not Jim Knight. It was not Ron Cherry. It might have been Carl Hess. I couldn't tell. But the paranoia over there got real thick after about the third play. And the PA announcer at the Carter had to keep reminding them, you are not allowed to rush the field and disembowel a referee.
Well, this is a serious question for you. Why was that play not reviewable?
because he blew the whistle, which stopped it in action, and the Fighting Dabos could have said, we would have caught him, but we pulled up short.
No, no, no. I'm not talking about that play. I'm talking about the long touchdown run where he stepped out of bounds.
That's what I mean. Right. But the official blew the whistle on the 47-yard line because he thought his foot went out of bounds. And once he blew the whistle, that ended the play, and they cannot replay again.
You. So if he hadn't blown the whistle and he ran it into the end zone, then they could have reviewed it at that point.
Right. Once you blow the whistle, everything stops, and you can't assume what would have happened in the ensuing 5 seconds.
What a stupid rule.
Clemson's number 3 in the nation. Are they overrated?
Oh, yes. They will drop down 8 or 9 now. You don't beat State by whatever it was, 2-3 touchdowns like that. I mean,
they're not dropping down.
State's probably better
nine.
than Chansky would ever say they are. But I mean, Coach Dave, who from where is not should not be on a Dabo level.
They're not dropping to 8 or 9. They might drop 1, but you know they're still undefeated. How many undefeated teams are there? There's only a handful of them right now.
Fresno State.
Yeah. 3 weeks into the season, there's 60 undefeated teams, I think. But
ones that we really. You know,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Georgia Tech, unfortunately.
Okay. Speaking of Georgia Tech, Tar Heels taking on the Yellow Jackets today. Key game for the defensive coordinator, Vic Koenig. You guys talk to him, and we've got that interview for you coming up after this really quick break. We'll be back in just a minute with Vic Koenig. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Wade is fishing on a lake and just realized his car insurance bill is due. Should he A, water ski behind a pair of rainbow trout to the nearest post office, or B, pay his bill from Geico's mobile app? The correct answer is B. Paying your bill on Geico's mobile app takes only seconds. A pair of rainbow trout couldn't tow a full-grown man for more than a couple yards. The Geico mobile app is fast, free, and easier to navigate than a couple of fish.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Catch every touchdown this season right here on your flagship station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
So we're back with The Good Sports. This is Art Chansky with Bob Lee, Art C. and Bob Lee, and we were really pleased this week to have Vic Koenig come over and join us for a pregame interview. We'd normally try and fake this, BL, that it's happening before the game, but as you astutely pointed out, the Carolina fans would really be ticked off if they thought that our assistant head coach and defensive
whatever
is spending the two hours before the game with us. So we taped this on Thursday, and Coach, thanks so much for coming over, and I know it's a busy week, but appreciate your time.
Well, it seems like every week's busy, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Who's going to win the Clemson NC State game tonight?
Well, I have a lot of emotional
feelings. Don't be political.
Feelings.
Come on, don't be political.
don't be politically correct. I think that Clemson probably is. I heard coming over here that they were 14-point favorite, and you know, I think that they have a team for the ages a little bit there, and that they got things rolling their way. But you never know. The old football is not like a basketball. Basketball, you throw it against the wall, you know how it's going to come off the wall. Football, you really never know. So, you know, playing at home and playing with emotion can definitely work in your favor. So, you know, I learned a long time ago not to kind of ever bet or not even put anything besides just a handshake on those type of games, so you never really know.
We will now know whether Vic was right in picking Clemson to blow out.
I didn't say that.
Come on.
Hey, you know, I'm going to pull a Nick Saban and say, y'all don't want to talk about our game.
Well, by the time we this goes on the air, we can tell if you were correct or not by how hungover Bob Lee still is from that.
Have watched that game from stately Vaughn Towers up there with my Wolfpack Fat Cat buddies.
So let me go back and ask you a philosophical question here. You know, Carolina, which everybody knows is a basketball school, right? Wrong. Okay. But we've had basketball teams in the past here that have led the nation in scoring, and their defense, as players have sort of said, even though Roy didn't like when they said it, they said, we don't really care about defense that much because we know we're going to outscore the other team. So taking that analogy to football, when you earn a program that has a defensive emphasis versus a program that's known like the Tar Heels right now for offense, is that create a different challenge for the defensive staff in terms of motivating and preparing your players?
Well, just to prove that Kansas State is not just an agricultural school, that is an interesting conundrum that you bring up right there. Most spread teams.
Conundrum, how about that?
That's AKA Clemson.
Yeah.
We finished ahead of them on defense last year, and a lot of spread teams tend to give up more points, and there's a variety of reasons why, especially the high tempo teams. You have more snaps on the field on defense and than other teams. You know, coming from my background and what I've been blessed to be able to be around and accomplished in my coaching career, I've had a couple of top 10 defenses as a defensive coordinator and still got fired. So I have a great appreciation for offense. It's a team game. And I think they both got to play to each other. That, when Coach Fedora understands this, and he puts a great deal of emphasis on all aspects, special teams, offense, and defense, and holds us extremely accountable. I also know that, and I learned this when I was a head coach, that, you don't have magic dust to sprinkle on players. And no matter what you can teach them, and no matter what drills and or whatever, You can't make them a better football player. That's where recruiting comes into it. And so, if you recruit some great defensive players, you're going to have a better defense. And right now we're in the, we're working towards that. Obviously, everybody that's a Tar Heel fan understands kind of the situation, and we know that we're trying every day to get better and get our players better and recruit better. So that's, we're working towards that, and we understand it, but we also don't want to give up anything. And defensively, we don't want to give up a yard. We don't give up a point. But all that being said, you don't cut your nose off to spite your face. I know my mom told me that my whole life growing up. I never really understood it until recently. So we got to understand the guys we got, and we can't lose those guys. And we got to do a great job as coaches and mentors and leaders and parents to get our guys to do everything they can, every step of the way and every aspect of their life. And then, some of it's didn't let them go and go do it. And if they can do it, great. And if they can't, let's figure out a way of making them better.
So
you would say over in a coach's career, and you've been a coach for many, many years, the three factors that determine the ups and downs of a coach's career: personnel, preparation, and luck. How would you rate those three?
I think that victory loves preparation. And also can remember Nick Saban's first year at Alabama. He lost to La Monroe after we beat him by 40 or 50 at Clemson the next week or two. They lost to him. So it also has something to do with players too. And, we do not want to make our players that we have, they are our players, and we are doing everything in our power to improve them every day in all aspects, and I can't say that strongly enough, in all aspects, in their personal life, in their academic life, in their spiritual life, and obviously in their football life, and we're trying to get every ounce of what they got to give and make sure that they get out there on Saturdays or Thursdays or whenever we play, and give it everything they've got. And we're disappointed if they don't or they fail, but we're just as disappointed as they are, and we just got to continue to recruit players that can that can achieve at the highest level, because that's what North Carolina deserves to have. And we got to get guys that care as much as the coaches do. And that's the big thing that I think everybody loses sight of, is that gum coaches care. I know the group we got care deeply, and when our players care as much as coaches do, we'll be okay.
Well, amen. After what we've been through the last few years here, just music to our ears. That's what we believe in, and that's what North Carolina has always been about. We've been around here a lot longer than you have, and let me tell you, that's what North Carolina has been about for 40 or 50 years, and what's happened here before you got here was unforgivable. It really was.
You know, players, I don't say players anywhere, but players, especially in the South, if they know you care about them, then they'll give you what they have, and you can coach them as hard as you want to coach them. And I'll be honest with you, we coach them hard. Coach Fedora does a great job in all aspects, not just special teams, defense, and offense, but we do a lot of little things to try to help them to succeed. And, you know, I'm excited to be on the staff with him. And, you know, we're trying to get the guys better.
We're with Vic Koenig, the associate head coach for defense at Carolina, and we'll be back with the Good Sports right after this.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
All right. Back with the Good Sports, and Bob Lee, this is Art C, and with Carolina's associate head coach of defense, Vic Koenig. Hey, so explain to us, who runs the defense, you or Dish?
Well, that's not really a fair question. Here's kind of trying to say as best I can in a nutshell. Coach Fedora was an assistant at Oklahoma State. Gundy asked him to try to find a defensive guy, and so Larry called me. I was at Clemson. I couldn't get out of the situation. I'm from Oklahoma. You know, it couldn't work out. I guess he had followed the success that we had had. When I was at Illinois last year, 2 years ago, and he was going to make a change at Southern Miss, he wanted to run our scheme, our system. And, you know, talked to a couple of guys in it, and he ended up hiring Dan at Southern Miss, and they had a great year and won the championship. During the hiring process, Coach Fedora called me and talked to me about this job, and I'm sitting there as interim head coach at Illinois going to get ready for a bowl game. And so, you know, that was, you know, wanting to get back in the South and stuff. It was an attractive thing, and I'd heard lots of great things about Larry. So I told him I would, you know, I'd take the job, and he made me promise to, he said, hey, you're going to have a lot of other offers. If you take it, take it. And I told him I would, and a lot of the other offers came up, and I went ahead and stayed with this one. And anyway, long story short, you know, Dan rightfully had done a great job at Southern Miss and got more of a background with Larry because they'd been together at Florida. And you know, so he got the coordinator title, and Coach Fedora had this associate head coach for defense title, which I've only heard one other time used before. So on Saturdays, I'm calling the plays. During the week, we all have input. We're all men in the room. This year has been some guys that have been, had been through the wars together and some other places. It's a room where everybody feels comfortable with each other and says what they need to say. And I think together the four of us kind of come up with a game plan. Obviously, at it comes, you know, it's my responsibility, and I take that responsibility hard, and I take it seriously. And there's a lot of mornings like this morning when I got up at 2:30 in the morning and we're sitting there thinking about different things needed to be done and putting notes on the phone so I'd remember them, and didn't go back to sleep. So it's the responsibility is mine, and you know, I bear the either the joy or the blunt of it. Obviously, it's always the players when we have success, and it's the coaches when we don't.
Well, you know, I kind of understand that. I got up at 3 o'clock in this morning just thinking about interviewing you and making notes to myself.
Here, well, here, I bet you went back to sleep quickly.
The injury factor in football, the crown of the helmet, players getting kicked out of games, big deal in the NFL this past week. As a defensive coach, obviously you're dealing with that. The inadvertent, the player, the crown. Explain how that affects you now, this new ruling, and how you coach defense.
Well, it's, you know, for years it's been – you know, you dislodge, and it happens a lot more in the secondary. And for years you've been taught to put the two screws in the middle of front of your helmet, and you put them in the number of the chin, and you work yourself up through their body, and you tackle on the rise. And, you know, you look on guys' helmets, and if they've got their scars on the top of their helmet, they're lowering their head, and you need to coach them out of it. If they've got some of the little marks or in the front of their helmet, you know they're tackling with their eyes. We've always talked about the word eyes rather than head. And so I've never, you know, allowed a player to duck their head. I've told them I have a place on the sideline for them next to me if they're going to duck their head all the time. So we always have done a pretty good job of trying to make sure they see what they tackle. Now, the rules have come into play. It's a little bit harder. We're actually teaching tackling more in the legs area. And, you know, I'm talking to my guys about the body, quote Neil Mick thing, trainer for Rocky, you know, in the Rocky movie, to the body. Everything now is to the body and to the legs. And so we're actually coaching that now. We all have to adapt and adjust. And all this is for the safety of football. Because if we don't, I've got three sons and they all play football. And if we don't change some of the issues, and that's the same thing with Georgia Tech, you know, talking about Georgia Tech, some of the issues with that offense is dangerous. But it is what it is. And, you know, we got to deal with it and do the best we can.
This show is not about X's and O's, but we need to ask you about Vadley and some of the offensive numbers that he's put up to date. I know it's early in the season, but Georgia Tech is looks like a more balanced team than ever. That probably creates a few more sleepless nights for you. But, you know, they have some awesome offensive statistics so far, and he's a local kid from Durham Hillside. Did we know about Vadley? Are you surprised that he's emerged?
It was before we got here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew about him. He came in last year and did a good job for him in our game, and they had been struggling on offense. I think he probably gave them some life last year, and I think Paul changed the way he was going about it about 2 weeks before we played him last year, and he went back to old school stuff and practice, and you know, that's coming from people down there. You know, it's impossible to completely stop it, this offense, unless you have players that can win one-on-one battles and can get off blocks and not get blocked, and they can play the edges and play the angles and then make tackles one-on-one. You cannot stop it the way they run it, and they count numbers, and they're always going to have more than you've got. And unless you can play the angles and the edges, you can just forget about it. There's no coach that can design a system or scheme that can win unless you've got the players that can get off the blocks and make the tackles in one-on-one situations. The same thing's going to go for in the coverage. If you're going to play over the top, then he throws a back shoulder ball. You can't. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You line up and play again, and hopefully the ball gets tipped or he has a bad throw. And, you know, he's doing a great job. They've obviously stepped it up a notch from when we played them last year, and we gave up 68 on them last year. It was an embarrassing performance, one of only a couple in my memory. And, you know, it was one that we can't live down but would like to.
But we did given the ball twice in the red zone. We did.
Kickoff.
Yeah, kickoff. I mean,
there was
a
bunch of stuff.
So.
But you know what? We gave up some plays. We had them in third and six plus 12 times and let them convert nine. And well,
is that going to happen? Is that going to happen Saturday?
I hope not. We've worked really hard to try to prevent that. But, you know, you got to worry about the other 92% of the time that they're running the football.
I was among the approximately 18,000 people in Wallace Wade Stadium last Saturday when Georgia Tech came in to play.
Are these tickets free that you get?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what happens when you're an internet legend, you get first.
So why are you bringing up that?
Because there was a lunatic fringe nut in front of me who on every offensive play that Georgia Tech ran, he yelled, "Clipping ref, clipping," and he added some, he made it more colorful. He was yelling about the cut blocks every play until finally halftime his wife and daughter forcibly led him out of the stadium because he was making such a fool of himself. But that's an issue whenever anyone plays Georgia Tech is the cut blocks.
Well, it is. I mean, you talked about the Big Eight back in the day. I remember lining up the outside linebacker against Oklahoma, and you got these running backs that run 4.240s lined up about 3.5 yards away from you, and they're coming light speed through your outside leg. And I remember getting cut a number of times. So it hasn't changed. It's been around for a long time. The thing that we've worked extremely hard in practice, actually we got a sled that we hit that we did every day in camp, trying to work on the body positioning of defending a cut block in space. The blocks, to me, that are the most dangerous are the ones inside, where D linemen are, you know, scrambling and they're playing off of an offensive lineman to maintain his gap, and the next guy overs is cutting him below the knee. You know, if they'll go through the thigh board, that's one thing. When they're diving down in the knees,
Have you ever coached on a staff where you were coaching defense and the offensive scheme of that staff was the cut block? Have you ever had to deal with that within your own
zone
staff?
Zone blocking teams do that somewhat, and some teams run a tunnel screen where they go back and they call an ambush block, and guys don't even see it coming. And I've chased coaches across the field and practice a few times when they did that scrimmages.
Because you're putting your defense against his offense every day in scrimmaging and running that risk.
Well, but most of them don't do that, and I think that's what Georgia Tech got back to doing in practice is after the Middle Tennessee State game last year, from what I was told, they went back to doing it more in practice, and so that's why they got better.
We could talk to you forever, Coach. But
I told you he'd be good. He's not as pretty as the girls we had last week, but I told you this guy was good.
Unfortunately, we got to go, and we appreciate so much your time, and I know you got to get back to the office to see if we don't give up 60
today is what you call Polish Day, or Polish Day, or however you want to spell the same. And anyway, it's an important day for us. Every day is. We take advantage of every minute of these guys' time.
Well, thanks so much for your time here, and best of luck at Georgia Tech.
Thank you.
Are you tired of spending money on your lawn over and over without getting the results you were promised? Let the pros at Landscape Logic give you the direction and care needed to protect your economic and aesthetic investments. Our commitment to quality and personal service is second to none. Check our references in your neighborhood, Angie's List, and a Better Business Bureau. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com.
Many people who switch their car insurance to GEICO for the savings end up staying for the excellent customer service. That's why GEICO works very hard to make sure every customer is satisfied. In fact, GEICO's customer satisfaction is 97%. And the 3% who aren't satisfied? Well, there's just no pleasing some people. But we're working on it.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
All
Welcome back to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Aaron Keck with you here in WCHL Studios in Chapel Hill. All the action getting underway at noon in Atlanta. Going to be a rainy afternoon for the Georgia Tech Tar Heels game. We've been talking earlier about coaches on the hot seat, Frank Beamer and Jim Grobe. Speaking of coaches on the hot seat, Art C. and Bob Lee, former Carolina man Mack Brown at Texas, off to a pretty slow start. How's he doing this year?
Well, I think hot seat doesn't even begin to describe. I mean, Mack, other than a couple of other coaches who we'll talk about in a minute, has got. I mean, that's in fuego now.
Everything's hotter in Texas.
Everything's hotter in Texas.
Well, I don't like the way he looks for sure, and I'm sure he feels worse than he looks. But you know, Mack is very political. When he was here, he had in his top left hand or right hand drawer, I can't remember which one, he kept a list of people that he knew he had to keep happy. And, you know, he was a great salesman and politician with everybody, but he knew this was the list of people he had.
Was Art Chansky on that list?
No, Art Chansky was not.
That's unfortunate.
He was.
You bring up a point. I think we need to tell our listeners, you and I both know Mack to a certain degree. You a little bit better than I do, and we both like him. Oh, we liked him when he was here. I understood why he lied to them boys right before he got on the plane to go to Austin. I understand all that. But I like him. I wish him the best. And it hurts me to see him. He looked like the portrait of Dorian Gray now. The last 3 years, he has just deteriorated, again, like a Dorian Gray picture, if anybody here has ever read literature.
Well, you know, I mean, he's not a spring chicken for a coach. He's 63. He makes $5 million a year. He's got an unbelievable contract and a buyout and everything, but it's still Texas.
Yeah.
And it's not, don't tell me what you did yesterday. It's tell me what you're going to do today and tomorrow. But let me finish my last point. He's DeLoss Dodds and several of the Texas oil barons and whoever's on that list that he has in Texas, he's keeping those people happy. And Mack Brown, every coach wants to have one more great team. And he'll lobby. He'll show statistics. You know, he'll bring out a list of plays he's recruited and who's in the program and all that. And he'll say, we have one more great team that we're going to put on the field. And so that's why I think he'll survive. But when it's time, Mack Brown's not going to let anybody fire him. He's going to leave on his own.
Well, you mentioned the big people down there. They're called T-sippers, as you probably know. That's their term, like we're wine and cheesers. They're called T-sippers. The number one T-sipper is a guy named Joe Jamail, who is this era's F. Lee Bailey. He's a big trial attorney in Houston, and he could buy Texas A&M, and he makes more money than Johnny Manziel does, almost at least as much. But he is the head Longhorn. He's the longest of the Longhorns, Joe Jamail, and he is Mack's attorney, personal attorney, and so Mack's got him in his pocket. But at the same time, it's getting so bad, and you mentioned Mack being 63, making $5 million, and there's another guy who's 63, makes $5 million under a lot of pressure, who looks 10 years younger than Mack, and that's Nick Saban. Nick Saban looks like he's in his early 50s. I mean, he's got, you know, his face, his hair, his voice, everything. And Mack, and again, we're his friends, is just coming. He's kind of melting like the Wicked Witch of the West in a rainstorm.
Well, first of all, Nick Saban uses the same hair colorist that Coach K does.
Yes.
Okay. Number two.
Well, it was Esquire shoe polish, extra black.
Let me ask you, here's a very important question. Did I read this right when the story broke this week about the Texas regent who was contacted by...
Contacted Saban.
Contacted Saban. Was that...
That was true. That was several years ago.
No. It said in January, and I'm talking about whether is it this past January or was it sometime?
Well, it's my understanding the original story that came out this week said that he contacted him after the Colt McCoy game in Pasadena when Mack lost. You know, Mack won with Vince Young, greatest championship game ever. And the next year he played two years later.
Yeah.
With Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy gets hurt, Alabama wins. That at that point it looked like Mack could go out sort of on top. And that's when the first regent talked to – regent is like a board of trustees. Mm. They first talked to Saban at that point. Now, it's my understanding that now they have offered him what's known as a WIT, whatever it takes, a blank check. And that could blow up college sports. If they say, we don't care, $10 million is chump change to us, we'll give you $10 million, well, Nick Saban, yeah, come down right now. And that blows everything out of proportion.
In Texas, that is chump change. That and is, in, yeah, Texas, it's Texas has a whole set of rules.
I don't think it's going to happen. But his Nick Saban will not be in Austin.
No, I don't think so either. And he came out and he said that on his radio show, his press conference.
Like Max said,
that usually means he's going to be in Austin in 2 months, though, right. Nick Saban said.
But here's my point. This week, why did that come out this week, if it happened so long ago? Why did it come out when the heat was most on Mac? It's sort of like the Bo Pelini thing. I know we're going to talk about in a minute, but why do these things come out when they come out? And to me, it's somebody. It comes out. Maybe they ask him when they want, say, Mac go out on top and all that. And, you know, Will Muschamp was his coach designate at that time. So I can understand back then. But now, why does it come out now when the heat's on him?
I think one thing is the folks in Bristol go 24/7 on five different channels. And then you got, now we got Fox Sports One, and you got all the rivals and Scout and all that. And everybody's looking for the story, Deadspin.
That might be true. So everybody's looking to report the story, but a story like that comes from somebody inside.
Sure.
Some say, hey, do you know that we've already contacted Nick Saban? You know,
and it could be. It could be Aggies. It could be people. It could be A&Mers who are now, they've got their shoe, they're on the throat of the Longhorns right now. They know it. And they want to take them out.
Speaking of stories that sat around for a while and then came out, the Bo Pelini incident of how many years ago was it?
Two years
ago that just came out this week. Puts him on the hot seat, too, if he wasn't there already.
Well, I don't like Bo Pelini. I don't know him. But looking at him, he doesn't look like someone I would like to sit beside on a four-hour airline. He just looks like a kind of a mean, rough, always
what
angry.
What is someone kind of that you would like to sit beside on a four-hour airline?
Carissa Thompson, who we're going to talk about in just a few minutes.
Well, but you should hear what Bo Pelini says about you.
Well, is that on the air or off the air?
Both.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so Bo Pelini's not someone I feel sympathy for, but you and I have also, we've all in here done interviews with people, and you say, okay, we're off the air. Now, coach, what do you think about so-and-so? And everybody understands you're off the air, it's over. Mm-hmm. So this situation where it was him and his Woody Durham or his Jones Angel is what I would assume it was, his color man, the voice of the Cornhuskers. And so they got off, and he was angry with the board monkeys, the lunatic fringers who were giving him hell, which all coaches have got to learn how to deal with a lunatic fringe, or they better get out of coaching, every one of them. Roy has a problem with it, we know, and they don't understand the lunatic fringe out there. But the he kind of vented, and it was being taped. Now, who saved that, and who brings it up?
Who's taping it in the first place?
You know, Anthony, are you doing that to us?
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, it's kind of funny. But it was somebody like us that said, "Aha! I've got this little thing. I'm going
to
put it
and
in my pocket
it,
because
yeah.
I don't like Bo."
Okay,
all right.
So Oklahoma State, we can't get away without talking about Oklahoma State, and it seems to be dying down. There's been a credibility problem that's risen with some of the people who are some of the coaches, players actually were malcontents in the program. But the point is, what percentage of it is correct? And here's the situation. If you're on that staff, there's been some publicity about Fedora and Gunter and people like that who are on that staff. Can you be on that staff and not know or not have heard the rumors? Or if it's going on that prevalently, is it possible for you to be on the staff and not know anything about that? It's not. Yeah. I agree.
It is not possible.
Right. So
now, do you blow the whistle?
Right.
Or do you keep quiet? Your head to the nose to the grindstone.
You commit professional suicide if you blow the whistle.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But you may go to the AD and say, look, this might be happening. I heard this was happening. I want no part of this. This is not me.
Mm. Well, and
on the record like that. And then
we had that here a few years ago with John Blake. And what did John Shoup and others know what John Blake was doing? And the perspective on that is whether it is happening at your school or your rival school.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring up a point there that about the Oklahoma State article in Sports Illustrated. You're a Carolina guy. You've written about the Carolina-Duke rivalry and stuff. If you were going to go do an article on Mike Krzyzewski, would Mike Krzyzewski think you're going to stab him in the back with it?
Probably.
And it's the same thing. This right. guy, one of these co-authors of this Sports Illustrated series, was a known Sooner backer.
Right. So mm-hmm. that's one of the credibility issues. But you know, the point is that no coach, nobody who's on a professional track and hears about something like this is going to derail his own career by blowing the whistle. That's ridiculous. But I think you do go, and maybe Fedora did this if he heard something about him. He said, went to the AD, was it still the same guy? And then he said, this is not me. I don't want no part of this. And then you start looking for another job. Well, and, you know, shortly thereafter, he went to Southern
When
Miss.
This story broke, and I wrote a column about it. In fact, I wrote one in Chapelboro this week. It happened at Oklahoma State. Yes, we had two of our coaches who were there at the time. All things being equal, I wish it had happened at Northern Illinois rather than Oklahoma State.
True. 5 minutes left. We've got a lot to talk about. We just talked about Larry Fedora. We were just talking to Vic Koning. How about Butch's Bunch? Where are they?
Well, other than that, for the last Saturday night, I'm watching the Notre Dame-Purdue game, and they kept referring to Purdue's offensive coordinator, John Shoup.
Yeah.
And I said, my golly, I wondered where Shoup was.
You know that guy.
Where is Shoup? I thought he was still doing Chapel Hill High School.
Well, he might still be.
Well, do you live under a rock or something? You didn't know he went
you
to Purdue?
You know that about
I was in Stately Vaughn Towers. I already told you.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't. But John, anyway, wait,
John Shoup had
where are Butch's Bunch?
John Shoup.
They're all over.
To be honest, we were lucky to have John Shoup here for the 1 year. You know, he was still under contract, and he decided he would spend that time with his family. He did the Chapel Hill high school games. He wrote a column on our huddle section on Chapel Bar. Mm-hmm. Got to know John Shoup pretty well.
Great guy.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
What a class guy. You know, we argued a lot because he thought that, you know, some of us were a little too critical, but we argued a lot. He gave me his point of view. I gave him ours. Terrific guy. He had a lot of.
Where are the rest of the guys?
He had a lot of offers, and he chose Purdue because he knew the guys, the relationships. He knew the new head coach.
Everett Withers is Urban Meyer's defensive coordinator?
Co-defensive coordinator at the Ohio State. Co-defensive coordinator with the guy who was the interim coach last year. Who was that?
Well, Withers.
No. The interim coach at Ohio State.
Oh, I know. If you told me his name, I would know it, but I've forgotten his name. But yeah, he was a holdover from the other staff.
Right.
All right, Chuck Pagano. He's done pretty good for himself. Mm-hmm. He coached for Butch, and he's what, the head coach of the Colts?
Yeah.
And, the guy that had the cancer.
And a great, great recovery story for him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's a terrific Charlie guy. Williams. I think he's with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got Sam Pittman, the offensive line coach. I think he went to Tennessee, and now I believe he's in Arkansas. And Ken Browning, I think, is bass fishing out on Jordan Lake.
Yeah, he's
bless his heart. He'd well earned his life bass fishing. And then, of course, if anybody out there knows where John Blake is, please call and let us know because nobody knows where John Blake is.
He has moved from Durham. I know that.
Guys, we got 4 minutes left. It's time for our two-minute drill. First of all, the game's in Atlanta. Great restaurant right next to Georgia Tech campus is the Varsity. What's your favorite item?
What do you have?
Two
chili dogs and a vanilla milkshake.
One time I was in Atlanta, I went in there. I think I had that and regretted it for an hour afterwards.
Usually takes about 20 minutes before it goes through the GI system.
Cheese fries
are good.
But you know what? When I looked at this, I thought it meant the Varsity Theater on Franklin Street.
I had to look up.
So I wrote down here and I said the beer and wine.
Yeah.
At the Varsity Theater on Franklin Street.
I think if you sneak that into the Varsity in Atlanta, that can be your favorite
item
on the menu,
too. What do you have? That's
great,
what they
great
say
place,
when they walk
great
in
place.
There. Okay, what's the next question?
ESPN has five different networks. You mentioned them. New 24-hour sports network, Fox Sports 1. What do you think?
What do you think, Chance?
What do you think?
I think Carissa Thompson is hotter than Aaron Andrews.
Well,
other than that, they're all just a bunch of bald-headed ex-NFL guys all talking over each other.
Here's what I think. I think it's not as funny as your favorite station, Fox News.
And Carissa Thompson is not as pretty as Martha McCallum.
Both of you make excellent points. Top five teams in the country right now are Alabama, Oregon, Clemson, Ohio State, Stanford. We already got Bob Lee's take on Clemson being overrated. But come Thanksgiving, who are your top five teams?
Well, LSU is going to lose to Alabama by that time. So it's Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, Louisville of the ACC. Look at their record. Look at their schedule.
Look at their schedule. They play Chapel Hill High School and East Chapel Hill High School and Broughton.
Bob Lee. They are ranked.
They play Broughton.
Bob Lee. It's where you start the season ranked. It's where you're ranked. Right now, you know what they're ranked right now?
Seven.
Number six. And if they continue. I'm just saying.
Strength of schedule will doom the
top the prediction of the top five teams in the country.
That's Art Chansky. We got to get to Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
All right. And finally, game prediction. It's going to rain today.
I hope we stay within 21 points. I'm worried that the Ramblin' Wreck is going to wreck the Fighting Fedorians today.
Our chance to get 40, last word.
45, Tech 31, Tar Heels. Sorry.
All right. This has been The Good Sports with Art C.
I'll see you weekdays on WCHL.
Missing the cue again, and Bob Lee.
And you can follow me on the greatest sports website on the internet, Bob Lee Says.
If he may say so himself, absolutely.
And we will see you next time on The Good Sports, the show that knows the score and tells it to you. This is Aaron Keck. The Good Sports is heard before every Carolina football game at 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station. Now to Atlanta for Tar Heel Sports.